this is the control tower. May I repeat your mission? In 30 seconds, you get into the combat zone. The target for you to drop bombs are Alpha, Victor, CBS, Sony, Toshiba, EMI, Columbia, Crown, Polydor, Canyon, RVC, Wana, Pioneer, King, Japan, Palista, Disco May, Trio, Takuma, Kitty, SMS, Polygram, Pass, 4Life, Epic, Sony. And may I repeat your mission? Bomb all these and destroy them. Over.
Disconnection. Connection.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of Lakeshore Record Exchange's AlternativeMusic.com podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Chinesi, shop owner, along with faithful co-host, noted music critic, Rob Roberts.
Hello.
And we're back to bring you some more new and old music that we really feel strongly that you should be aware of. We're going to have two news tracks for you and two archival picks, where Robert and I go back into our own libraries and pull out some older obscure music to bring to the light of day. Robert, we're leading off with you this week. We're music newsless, yeah. Unfortunately, nothing really to report in the music news for this week.
Well, those who tune in just for the music news will probably be tuning it out now, don't you think? Probably.
Most likely, yes, but we'll muddle
music
along.
Is out there.
Yes.
It's going on live in your city. Go hear it.
Absolutely. We're going to start off with your new release pick of the week.
Okay, my new release pick of the week. Well, actually, since we last convened here, I saw a guy in concert recently, a guitar player named Duck Baker. I don't know if you know him.
No, I am not aware of him.
Okay, he's an interesting guy. He is noted for his fingerstyle picking guitar. He plays acoustic guitar, and he's really an excellent player. And he's pretty much known as a traditionalist. He's done a lot of instructional videos and books, and he's put out a lot of records in that style. But he also, there's another side to Duck Baker, and that he also has a real feel and a real fondness for modern jazz, contemporary jazz, avant-garde jazz. So you look at his discography and you see he's got albums of, you know, ragtime music, traditional music, and all that.
So he doesn't really focus on one sort of
sub-genre. You know, the unique thing I think about him is that it all kind of filters into his style. You know, even if he's playing folk or if he's playing out there stuff. You know, he's worked with, you know, Stephen Grossman, you know, of Kicking Mule, you know, in his first five albums, I think, were on Kicking Mule Records, which was Stephen's label, and those were back in the 70s. I think his first record was something called, what is that title again? Oh, There's Something for Everyone in America, which is a great title for an album. That came out in 75 and really got him, you know, established in the folk music scene, if you consider finger-picking style a folk style, which it really isn't. But the one interesting thing is finger-picking style isn't really associated with jazz either. You know,
right.
It's just not a jazz style. You know, jazz is usually played with a pick.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of developed a really unique style in jazz with his finger-picking style. He's done solo albums in this, you know, of original tunes and jazz compositions, and then he's also got some group things that he's done. His most recent album is something called The Waltz Lesson, and he lives in England now, in Reading, I think he said.
Is this waltz music?
Some of it is in 3-4, yeah, and as a matter of fact, well, this tune you're going to hear, you think it's in 3-4, but really it's pretty complex music. You know, to try to count out three in this, and you'll get tripped up pretty easily. This album, it's his own group, and once again, the other two players with him are associated with the avant-garde, but they're playing a little more inside here, but they're doing a beautiful job of it. One is a clarinet player named Alex Ward, and the other is a bass player named Joe Williamson, and they both have pretty strong credentials. And they also have pretty wide-ranging credentials, too. I know Alex Ward sometimes plays guitar in a band, too, I've heard, but I haven't heard that particular group. I've only heard his clarinet playing, and he plays beautifully on this record. And Joe Williamson, I've heard him in Tobias Delius's band and, you know, with the Dutch avant-garde, people like that, and some British players as well. What should we say? Should we just play a tune and let people know what it is? Okay, we're going to play, this is actually the last track on the album. It's called Tea GV. Thank you. There you had it, Duck Baker, a track called TGV, the Duck Baker Trio, and a track called TBG from the album The Waltz Lesson, which is on the Les Cousins label. I don't know how well you know that label.
Totally.
I was actually totally new. Yeah, I picked up a bunch of these things from him when he was here. I just was really liked it. I particularly like that track. I like the way Alex Ward plays the... plays down on the lower registers a lot on there, and it just kind of cooks along the bass, you know, drives it along, and
right.
really doing some great stuff behind the soloists. It's everything I look for in jazz. You know, it's not, it's modern, but it's not particularly out, and it's something people should listen to. People should know Duck Baker.
Okay, there you are. And Robert's new release pick of the week. My first one for this week comes from a band who. I think as far as like the dance world goes, these guys are like titans, really. They've been around for, almost 30 years now. They started out in 1980. I'm speaking of the group Underworld. And the Underworld is a band that has had a little bit of a rotating membership to it. But the main members are Carl Hyde and Rick Smith.
And they didn't really start out as a dance group, as
well,
I recall. They were kind of...
more of like electro-funk...
80s pop.
Yeah,
stuff,
80s
yeah.
sounding. That was the first version of the group, which featured other... The other members were Alfie Thomas, Brian Burroughs, and Baz Allen. They released two albums back in the 80s. In 87... the first one was called Underneath the Radar, and then they did Change the Weather in 1989. And yeah, it definitely was a much different sounding band than they are today. But that group was just together for that lineup of the group was just together for those two albums, and then they split in 1990. Then in 1991, Carl Hyde and Rick Smith recruited DJ Darren Emerson. And did a bunch of 12-inch singles, and then put out a album in 1994 called Dub No Bass With My Head Man.
That was a great record.
And
I remember that one.
That was the one that sort of really put them on the map as far as the club scene and in the sort of, I don't know if commercial dance scene is the right way to put it, but they were well respected by critics and well respected by the music buying public as well. So they sort of managed to bridge both those groups with that album. Darren Emerson left the group in 2002, and they went back to just being a duo. So from 2002 until now, it's again just been Carl Hyde and Rick Smith, and just a couple months ago, September 13th, they officially released their eighth album. This was an album called Barking, and features a track that they've done that we're going to hear now that's been like a staple in their live shows, but they've never released it up until now. The track is called Scribble. So this is, again, the Underworld from their new LP, Barking, and the track Scribble on the AlternativeMusic.com podcast.
And it's go. Bang. Weird thing. Huge. Amazing. Download. Something.
Underworld from their eighth release, an album called Barking, and a track called Scribble. I don't know, there's something about their music that I find very uplifting, very upbeat, sort of, I'm not sure what it is, but...
I'm wondering if the title refers to barking, the act of like woofing, or is it the city in England? I think there's a city in England called Barking. I may be wrong.
I don't know.
I like it though. Yeah.
I didn't do that much research.
This band is good.
All right, Robert, what do you have for an archival pick for us this
week? Okay. My archival pick is not an archival pick at all. It's another recent record that Duck Baker brought out. But I wanted to play this because it really shows a different side to him. It's a record called The Duck's Palace, and it's out on Incus Records. Incus was a label started in the 70s by guitarist Derek Bailey, British avant-garde guitarist. And he died just recently, and I guess his wife is continuing on the label somewhat. And one of the first things, and this is an indication of how, you know, Baker is esteemed by both sides of the fence. You know, he's, you know, firmly ensconced in the traditional folk, traditional guitar music camp. But people like Derek Bailey also could hear what he did, and he's done work with Bailey. He's done work with the British avant-garde. So his wife put out a record of duets and trios that Duck did with different people, including a couple of historical solos with duets with Derek Bailey on here. But actually what I'm going to play is a track, it's a trio with John Zorn, who I assume you know, playing saxophone.
Yes.
And a Brazilian percussionist named Ciro Baptista, who is another one who sort of goes all over the place with his music. I mean, he does kind of dancey type rock, not rock, but sort of ethnic fusion type music. Okay. But he also plays in the avant-garde end of things as well, which is what he's doing here. We're going to have here a track. It's got the elegant title of Improv Number 1. It's Duck Baker guitar, John Zorn saxophone, and Ciro Baptista percussion. Thank you. Well, at least some people applauded at the end there.
Nobody threw stones or rotten vegetables.
That was Duck Baker, guitarist, acoustic guitarist extraordinaire, with John Zorn on saxophone and Ciro Baptista of the band Beat the Donkey, and a lot of other things too. A track called Improv Number One. It's from one of Duck Baker's other new albums. He's got about two or three new albums that are out, and this one's called The Duck's Palace, and it's on Incus Records, and it presents another side of Duck that you don't hear too often, but shows you what a complete musician he is. So what do you got?
For my second pick, the archival one, I'm going back a few years on this one to 1987. There's a group that has always sort of, not confused, but confounded maybe would be the right word. The main issue I've had with them is the inability to pronounce the name of the band properly, because they are called, or it's spelled out anyways, the letter C and then Cat Trance. So I don't know if it's meant to be Cat Trance or Sea Cat Trance.
I always assumed it was Sea Cat Trance, just because if it were Cat Trance, it would have a hyphen between the two C's, wouldn't it?
Yes, and there is not, at least nowhere on the
nowhere that I've seen
that
anyway,
right. Yep. But the band.
But I like saying Cat Trance better.
The band Sea Cat Trance. Formed in 1983 by a guy named John Rees Lewis, who originally was a member of the band Medium Medium. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah,
all?
Yeah.
He had a song called Hungry So Angry,
which was remixed by Adrian Sherwood.
Right. And after Medium Medium broke up, John Lewis formed Sea Cat Trance, along with Nigel Stone, who is the drummer from Medium Medium. I've always liked these guys in the sense, too, that I think they were one of the early bands to incorporate world or Indian, African style of music into their playing. The songs tend to be very long and hypnotic. The group released five albums between 1983 and 1992, and we're going to hear a track from their fourth release. It's called Play Masenko Combo, and this is a track called She Ever Does on the AlternativeMusic.com podcast. I was saying, I don't know, I find that very, I find the music very sort of hypnotic.
Yeah, it's definitely a little different from the norm for 87, too. That's when this was recorded.
Right. Again, the band is called, I'm going to guess it's called Sea Cat Trance. And the album is called Play Masenko Combo. And a track called She Ever Does. That is pretty much going to wrap up this week's podcast. We appreciate everybody listening and spending some time with us, and remind you that if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us. The address is podcast@alternativemusic.com, and you can also check out the podcast webpage at the alternativemusic.com website, where you can see information about all the music that we have played and things that we have talked about. Until next program, Robert, do you have any words of wisdom or advice or comments or suggestions, any kind of anything that you could leave the audience with?
Not a thing.
And with that, we will talk to you later.